Okay, let's get started. You both were here last time, two weeks ago.
Okay.
Right, so let's just recap very quickly. We explained mainly why the Torah was given in two parts, the Torah Shebechsav, the Torah Shebaalpeh. Did they shift their own classes assigned in? To understand what the Rambam did, you have to understand how he filled in our literary gap, and he was played a tremendous role in how the Torah Shebaalpeh came to be in writing. So in the middle of explaining that, so we explained already last week about the Torah is given in two parts, a written Torah and an oral Torah, and the Torah that's visible versus the Torah that's heard, which means the visible is the facts, and what the explanation is always oral. That's the way it always works. Right? We explained this at great length last time we met. Okay. So the big revolution, right? The big revolution of the Mishnah is not what's commonly believed that the Torah Shebaalpeh got written. That's not the point. Right? We brought from the Rambam. The Rambam says that people always took notes. Right? From the days of Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu gave a shir. He said the pasuk. He said what the pasuk means. People took notes, on his explanations that Moshe Rabbeinu himself explained. Eye for an eye doesn't mean literally eye for an eye. It means money. Right? Or the priyat hadara we take is the esrog as we know it. Right? It's not the lemon. People always took notes. But the thing is that in how the Torah was to be transmitted, you weren't allowed to teach from your notes. The Torah Shebaalpeh had to remain a commentary on Chumash. So the text would always be the Pasuk. And that's how every Shir would always start. The Shir would start with the Pasuk. And they'd start bringing down, orally what the Pasuk means. And then, the discussion would lead wherever it would lead. That only the Bible was meant to be the text of the Torah. And everything else is supposed to be commentary. And if the Torah Shebaalpeh would be written, it wouldn't be a commentary anymore. It would be a book in its own right. And that's not the way God wanted. God wanted that, what is seen, which is what came down by prophecy, is what qualifies to be in the Torah Shebaalpeh. And you take a look. Anything that's in the Torah Shebaalpeh, it's all Nebuah. Whether it's the Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the Chumash, or it's the Nebuah of the other Nebuim, that's what became the Nebuim and the Ksuvim. And that's what the prophet actually saw. Just like he saw it, so that's what's visible. That's the text. Everything else is explanation. And that's, And we explained away at great length last time, I'm sure if everyone was there, so there's no need to repeat ourselves, why explanation is always, conveyed with speech and hearing. The big revolution of the Mishnah is that Rebbe made Torah Shebaalpeh its own book. That's the amazing revolution of the Mishnah. Mishnah is considered revolutionary even in its own time when people were still learning it Baalpeh. So it's an error when people think that the Mishnah was a revolution because it was written. In its own generation when it was composed, it wasn't written. They didn't publish it. The Mishnah wasn't published. It was taught orally. But it changed the, that the Mishnah is not built around Chumash. It's a book in its own right. You can learn Mishnah, and you'll do very well without knowing any Chumash. There's a quote from the Chumash once every 20, 30 Mishnayos. There might be a quote from Chumash, and you don't even need that quote to understand what's being said. That was the revelation. That was like the revolution, of the Mishnah. Torah Shebaalpeh has its own text. And Rebbe felt, Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, it was necessary to do it this way, otherwise the Torah would be forgotten. must be reduced to its own text. Its own text. Leave it as floating around Chumash, as in the Chumash, it'll get lost. It has to be its own text. And Rav Yishuv was there was its own text. They taught Mishnah. They stopped teaching it. Perushim on as it used to be. The style of Shiurim was they started with a pasuk. They would say, you know, this is what tradition says, and that's how the whole discussion would unfold. They stopped it. They started teaching Mishnah. And after they heard teaching what the Mishnah means, and that's the Talmud. Right? Right, the Talmud is less revolutionary than the Mishnah, we said last time. Right? Because the Talmud, even though it was committed to writing, and also the Talmud also was not published in its own day. You know, the Talmud was published, you know, about hundreds of years later. They kept the Talmud Baal Peh even after it was reduced to a particular text. Right? But still, you know, it wasn't the revolution of the Mishnah, because the Talmud still remains a commentary. It's a commentary on the Mishnah. And that's the, as it were, the proper form for the Torah Baal Peh, to be a commentary. Not to be a book in its own right. You won't get very far learning Talmud without knowing the Mishnah. You don't know what's going on. It's a commentary on the Mishnah. But you can learn Mishnah and you'll do fine. If you don't know any Chumash. Now I just want to make you aware of one more point. Then we're going to come to what the Rambam did. You know, trust me, this is not superfluous. Okay? Yeah. You have to understand that, you know, the fact that, you know, the Torah Baal Peh now, you know, I should say now, till the Rambam, had two major forms to it, Mishnah and Talmud. Okay. You have to understand that the Torah Baal Peh always lent itself to being divided up that way. Okay. There's a Gemara in Brachos, very interesting Gemara, and we're going to come back to this Gemara, because the Rambam quotes this Gemara to explain what he's done. Okay. It says, it's a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, God says to Moshe, after he gave him the tablets of law, I now give you the tablets of stone, the Torah and the mitzvah that I have written, to direct the Jewish people. So the Gemara in Brachos, you know, learned this pasuk as follows. Luchos ha'evan, I gave you the tablets of stone, that's obviously Luchos. Ha'terah, I gave you the Torah. Zu Torah Shevachsav, that's the written law. The Hamitzvah, Zu Mishnah. The Mitzvah refers to Mishnah. Asher Kasafi that I have written. Zu Nevi'im Uksudim, that refers to Nach. L'Horosam, to direct them. Zu Talmud, that refers to the Talmud. Now, this part of God says at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, you know, in heaven, when Moshe had worked with him, I gave you the Torah, the Mitzvah, Asher Kasafti Rosam, which comes out saying that, besides the tablets, there's the Chumash, the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, the Mishnah, and the Talmud. Now, what does that mean? Now, the Mishnah we know got written by Rabbeinu HaKadosh thousands of years later. The Nevi'im and Ksuvim that gradually got written, you know, the days of the Shoftim, in the First Temple period. Right? The Gemara by Ravina and Ravashi. What's going on? Not saying that we had these books before the authors of these books wrote them. Can't mean that. What it means is that Torah always was designed to take on these different forms ever since God gave it. God gave it, being pre-designed to take on these forms. So let's start with Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right, obviously, it wasn't written till it was written. So what does this mean? So there's another Gemara. Gemara says, in the Dorit, that if Ilmoli Chotu Solonim El Chamisha Chum Shei Terah, the Sefer Yeshua Bnei Erkashar, so if the Jewish people had not sinned, the only books of the written law would have been Chumash, and Sefer Yoshua, for practical reasons, because there, how to divide up the land of Israel between different tribes, and that's where the Torah Shel Kasav would have ended. But because the Jewish people sinned, right? So God had to send us the prophets to rebuke us. So most of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim is all Musar. So now I ask you, there's no Musar in Chumash?
There's a lot of Musar in Chumash.
Right. It's there. But it's not very detailed.
The whole book is all Musar
and the same thing with Chacha. Okay, yeah. And so we have the Chacha here, and Parshas Kisavim. Chacha before and Parshas Bechukosa. A few mitzvahs that direct us about Tikkun Amidus, Zakeli Barmel, you have to try to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not very detailed. But there's no question that the details are included in those principles, they're just not spelled out. Right, we agree on that? There's a lot more Musar in Yirmiyo than there is in the whole Chumash. Right? A lot more Musar in Treyasa. And I could show you how all the Musar in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim could boil down to the Psukim in Chumash. They're all implicit over there. But people need it to be reminded, and they need it spelled out for them. Right? So Torah was pre-designed that if need be, it could branch out into the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That's what it means. Right? When Yishayo and Yirmiyo, when they came on the scene, they didn't invent a new Torah, God forbid. Now, they just brought out the details that are implicit in the Musar of the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? No prophet's allowed to create new Torah. Right? And prophet is not allowed to create new Torah. Whatever Chazal accepted as, this is a branch of the written law, is because it fits back into Chumash. Eila mitzvahs, these are mitzvahs, Chazal says, we're going to fire the question. Because I, Mikan She'en Novi Rasha L'chan Shabbat, but prophet can't make up a new Torah. It's not that we reject Yashka and Muhammad because we think they were lying. Judaism doesn't accept the possibility that there could be a new law or additions to the law or changes to the law. It's impossible. There's no way we could have ever accepted Yashka or Muhammad. And Navi cannot create new terror. So, the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, it's implicit in what God gave Moshe. And that's what Chazal say in that Gemara in this corner. If we wouldn't have needed the added Musar, those books wouldn't have been written, so it wouldn't have had to branch out in that direction. It wouldn't have been necessary. Because, we sinned, so we had to be straightened out by these Nevi'im. Nothing new, but brought out the details of the Musar that we're in there. But what interests me more, right, is, for our person our discussion, is that this pasuk alludes to how Torah Shel Baal Peh has two different parts to it. Mishnah, HaMitzvah is Mishnah, right? and lo doesn't is Gemara. And this is already talking the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? This goes all the way back to Moses, right? That there was going to be two different things, Mishnah and Talmud. It's not just generic oral law. That means that, you know, two things. Right? First of all, that whatever Rabbeinu HaKadosh did when he wrote the Mishnah, it was something that he, that was something that was pre-programmed to be possible. Right. If a Navi is not allowed to reinvent the Torah, certainly so a person is not a Navi. It was always meant that such a thing could happen, but it's more than that. There was something like Mishnah and something like Talmud all the time, even before Rebbe wrote the Mishnah as we have it, and Ravina Rabashi wrote the Gemara as we have it. There were precursors to it. Always, always, always. The very fact that you could come to a conclusion, this is the halakha. This is how you shape ruling. That's Mishnah. The fact that, you know, there could be a final psak halacha, a directive, you know, this is codified law, we call it, codified law. Like if you ever took a class in law, the Goyim have this also. There's like the law as it's published, and it's, you know, the published law is generally very simple. This and this is the law. Then in the fine print on the bottom, they go into how the law became the law and what was the famous case in which the law got laid down to set the precedent. There's like the body of the law, not the law itself. And there's all the, why the law is the law. The fact that I can explain to you, in simple English how to shape ruach without explaining to you all the rumbas of why it has to be this way and it cannot be any other way, that is Mishnah. Just saying the plain facts as they are, the Torah Shebaal Peh can do that. Right? That is, you know, the programming in Torah Shebaal Peh that enables Mishnah. The Talmud doesn't tell you what to do. Right? The Talmud tells you why the halacha is the halacha. Why you can't say any different. Why it had to be this way. Pure commentary, explaining the necessity. Doesn't say what to do. Explains why the law is the law. There were always such a thing as Mishnayos. Codified law. Gemara says that until the generation of Hillel and Shammai, there were actually 600 orders of Mishnah. Now we only know six. This is 600. And, you know, the later generation saw that it's just too detailed. People can't handle it. So they condensed it to six. And this is talking about generations before. Many generations before Ben Rokosh. This was until the days of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai was about five generations before Rabbeinu HaKadosh. There were 600 orders of Mishnah. What does that mean? That means that they had a lot of, as it were, published law. Do this, don't do that, don't do that. And separate from that was the Talmud aspect of the Torah Shebaal Peh, explaining why it has to be this way and it cannot be any other way, and what are the origins of this ruling. The Jewish people couldn't handle it, so they worked on, they condensed it to six. And this condensing to six also happened before Rabbeinu HaKadosh came on the scene. Have you heard the famous statement, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir? Funny, it's a Gemara used often. You know, depending on how you want to know who the Mishnah is going, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, that Rabbeinu Kirsch took Reb Meir's Mishnah. People used to write their own Mishnah. People, the whole academies used to come out with their own Mishnah. Mishnah is published, codified one. Everyone had their own Mishnah, everyone had their own Talmud. They had their codified law, and they had explain why the law is the law. But until Rabbeinu Kirsch, no one was ever allowed to teach it that way. They were only allowed to teach everything as a commentary on Chumash. But for their own purposes, everyone had their own Mishnah. For their own purposes, everyone had their own Talmud. Just in how Torah was always transmitted, it was always transmitted as a commentary on Chumash, like we explained last time. But, but that Torah could, the oral law could break up into these forms, that's as ancient as Torah itself. I'll give you an example. You learn Mishnah Berurah? Mishnah Berurah in text. The Shulchan Aruch is like Mishnah. And the Mishnah Berurah is like Gemara. And that's like even stylistically, the Hebrew of the Mechaber. The Mechaber and the Ramah, they just say what to do. Come to Mishnah Berurah and explain. So the Mechaber and Ramah are following the lead of the Mishnah. That style of Tarsh Balpeh is Mishnah style. The style of the Mishnah Berurah, or his precursors like the Shach, the Taz, and the other, Mekor Shemajor, that's Gemara style. These trends, these styles, are as ancient as Torah itself. Why did I do this all to you? I hope I didn't bore anybody. Right? The most radical thing that the Rambam did in his own day. We think that the most radical thing he did was write the Morning Book. Not true. The Morning Book is not radical because it was written. It's considered radical because of some of the opinions contained therein. The most radical thing that the Rambam wrote was the Mishnah Torah. We don't think of it as radical anymore because it's 800 years later. And we got very comfortable with it and we use it a lot. But the Mishnah Torah in his day was considered to be very revolutionary, very radical. He was accused of trying to supplant the Gemara. For the Rambam, by and large, what were written were commentaries on the Talmud. So even though there were certain earlier halacha sforim, like the Halacha Kedoshim, but it was never on the entirety of Torah. It was like, they took detailed halachas, right? Like no one wrote a book that codified the entirety of the Torah. Also, get the early halachas from the Sefer Eshkol, the Baal Tzedos, so they had Hilchos Shabbos. To help out the layman, right? And so they were on detailed topics. There was never a Havamina that you could get by with this book and not need the Talmud, because it doesn't cover not only not the depth of it, but not the breadth of it. It was like, no Havamina, you'd always need the Talmud to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Came the Rambam, and then Kol HaTorah Kula just took on a new form. It's my book, the Yad HaChazaka. History is not commonly transmitted how much heat he got for that audacious move, trying to supplant the Talmud. Now, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? We're going to learn your book. We're not going to learn the Talmud anymore. I didn't have a chance to photocopy this before Professor Mendel start, but I'll read you some quotes about what the Rambam writes. Yeah, about his work. The Rambam writes in his Hakdamah, right, his Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah, explaining what this book is for. Shetei Torah Shebaal Peh Sdura B'Fi HaKol. With my book, everyone could have the whole Torah Shebaal Peh on his tongue. Lo Shukol Zul Kol Zol Ben Kol Mitzvah V'Zvei V'Rayim Shetei V'Chayim. He'll know everything. Chlalo Shel Dever, to sum it up, says the Rambam. The Rambam has to make no mistake. To sum it up, Shkedei Shelo Yadam Tzarech L'Chibar Acher Ba'olam. You won't need any other book in the world. B'din Midin Yisrael. You don't need any other book in the world to know any din anywhere. This book holds in it the entirety of Persian Alpha. Right, then he goes on to explain, because I have in this book everything. You know, I have the whole Talmud. If there's things written since the Talmud, what the Gaonim wrote, I have that also. My point of that is, I have it all, it's all in here. You don't need anything else. Right? And he says it again. You know, vis-a-vis your chiyuv Talmud Torah. Lefi she'adam kore b'tor shebichsav tchila, v'acha kore b'zeh yavir mer tor shebav kula, v'ena tchich likro sefer rabinam. You read the Bible, for it to be yotze, your chiyuv to know tor shebichsav, and you read this book to know tor shebav, then you're done. Sounds right. You don't need the Talmud anymore. Right? Take it in here, most literally. The Rambam further has a letter. This is what the Rambam writes himself in his Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah. Right? And then the Rambam writes a letter to his Talmud, Yosef Ibn Yehuda Beknin, the same one that the Mor Nebuchim is addressed to. So in the letter he wrote like this. Hatachsel says the Talmud is lost of Parnichosa Va'ada, right? What Ravina and Ravashi intended with the Talmud, that intent is no longer fulfilled. Right? The Tachlis Alamdor and Kiwi is Ma'asadarad, and people who learn are just wasting their time, you know, with Talmudic arguments. They're not doing what the Talmud was meant for, which is to arrive at the final halacha through this technology. People are just getting hung up on the dialectic without getting to the purpose of the dialectic, which is to get to the Pesach Halacha, right? Right? Right, and so it goes on to, right, you know, people are just wasting their time with the way they handle the Gemara. Right, so what you do, he advises his student, learn Rit, if you want to, Rit, you know, summarize Talmud, learn my book, compare the two, but basically learn my book and let's push the book everywhere. It sounds like, it's like the phase of Gemara. But it's not that simple. Because the Rambam himself writes in the laws of Talmud Torah, you know, in the Yad HaChazaka, in the Hilchos Talmud Torah, right? He writes as follows, Chayav Tzav Zman L'Midah. So a person has to divide the time he learns Torah into thirds. Now, if you have 9 hours a day, you divide it up into thirds. Shlish B'Tor Shebichsav. One third you learn, you know, the written law, Bible. Shlish the Torah Shebaal Peh. One third you learn Torah Shebaal Peh. The shlish, now the third of your time, Yavin v'yaskel achas d'orei. So try to understand how the The origins of the conclusion, meaning is the final halacha, what are the origins of it? The other two, and also compare and contrast different halachas. Right? Right? The other, compare and contrast different halachas for the purpose of creating new halacha. The yodin b'midas shatan address them, and you should also apply, the midas shatan address them, kalvachomer gzera shava. Use those midas to understand how the halacha branched out from the chumash, its relationship to the chumash, with the midas shatan address them. Right? The Indian says, who are Nikra Talmud? And this third is what I call Talmud. And he's right. It's Talmud as we know, because that's what the Gemara does. The Gemara researches on the origins of Halakha. The Gemara compares and contrasts. And the Gemara also frequently asks, we know in many words, the original source of the Chumash, and shows the Drasha that brought the Halakha out of the Chumash. So Rambam says you have to do this one third of your time. One third of your learning time has to be engaged in this type of study. You can't do that with this Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah just says what to do and what not to do. There's nothing in the Mishnah Torah that can help you understand what the origins of the law are. You can't even use it to compare and contrast and figure out new law because you don't know why the law is the law in the first place. And I let the Rambam goes on in Hilchos Talmud Torah and says, when I said all this, divide your learning time in thirds, that's until you finish. No, all finish. For Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? But once you finish, right? Yachne kol yomav v'talmud v'vat, spend all your time on Talmud. So when did I say divide up your time in thirds? Right? Because you still haven't finished all of Tanakh. You still haven't finished, all of Halacha. Once you finish, then you know it already, you should spend 100% of your time, minus time you need to chazer, so you don't forget, minus that time, but basically all your time should be engaged in this area of inquiry, of researching the origins of Halacha, and trying to create new Halacha. By comparing and contrasting, you can't live the Rambam's mission for it. And he says that once you know it all, that you should be doing all the time. And we seem to have a contradiction. The resolution to the contradiction comes in a letter that the Rambam wrote to Rav Pinchas Hadayim. Right. This Rav Pinchas Hadayim, we don't have the letter that he wrote to the Rambam, the Rambam's responded to, but it's clear from the response that he listed off a whole long list of complaints and criticisms that he has on the Rambam. And one of them was, you're trying to supplant the Gemara. You accuse him of trying to phase out the Gemara. I want you to learn your book instead of the Gemara, because this book covers the entirety of Torah. So I'm going to read to you, inside, the Rambam's response to the Pinchas Hadayim. The Rambam first says it's not true. Right? It's a lie. I never said to burn all the books of those that preceded me. And the Rambam goes on to say that when in his yeshiva, when Bachurim came, he never taught them, unless they asked for it. He never taught them Mishnah Torah. He taught Talmud and he taught Rit also. But he denies the accusation. And then he goes on to explain. And now I'm reading inside. Da Ulufi Midoi, know my master and teacher. Shekomi Shekosov Sefer Echa Bishnei Drachim Ochez. When you write a book, you have a choice of one of two styles. O Derech Hibur O Derech Pir. Either you write a composition or you write a commentary. These are your two choices when you want to write a book. Which style should you take? you write a book that's a composition in its own right, or you write a book that's a commentary of something else. V'derech chibur la'asket v'am anachonim b'uvat v'lo kushab v'lo pirk v'lo shum ra'ay v'olam k'mo she'osa rabbeinu akosh b'chibur ha'mishnah. Right? If you want to choose the style of writing a composition in its own right, the proper way to do that, says the Rambam, is just to say the facts as they are, not explaining why the facts are the facts. And if you want the book just to be a book in its own right, so you just say the facts, and Rambam adds on, parenthetically, that was Rabbeinu Akarsh's style in the Mishnah. You just write the facts, no commentary. V'derech ha'pirush la'asker dvarim ha'nechonim v'dvarim ha'acherim ha'tzosom v'akushas ha'kodor v'apiruk v'arai sh'zendor zev zeh sheker or sh'zeh roi zemer v'zeh derech ha'talmud sh'talmud pirush ha'mishnah. And if you're writing a commentary, so if that's what you're writing, so then over there the style of a commentary in fact is to compare and contrast. There's one way of understanding, there's another way of understanding. This way is right and the other way is wrong because of X, Y, and Z. Because if you say like this, you'll have this and this and this difficulty. You say like that, you won't have this difficulty. That's a good commentary. That's the style of a commentary. And Rambam adds off, apparently, that's the style of the Talmud. That's what a Talmud does. It explains the necessity of why the law is the law and why it could not have been any other way. And a person who writes books should choose. Do you want this style, that style? And one is the style of the Mishnah, one is the style of the Talmud. V'ani lo atisi pirush el achibur derech ha-Mishnah. And what did I do in my Mishnah Torah? I did not write a commentary. I wrote a book. The book is all right. Like the Mishnah, I follow the style of the Mishnah. And the Rambam indeed writes in a few places that he means that very literally. He followed the style of the Mishnah. First of all, the Hebrew that the Rambam chose for his Mishnah Torah is the Hebrew of the Mishnah. It's not a biblical Hebrew. He writes that. That he says that's the Hebrew people relate to the best, understand the best. And he also says that how he divided up is a very parallel way to how the Mishnah is divided up. The Mishnah has Siddurim, within the Siddurim, Masechtos. Within Masechtos, Prakim, and within Prakim, Mishnah. Rambam writes black and white. I imitated that, just I don't have six orders, I have 14 orders, Sefer Mada, and I have my own Masechtos. Masechtos, Hilchos Yisoriyata, Masechtos, Hilchos Beis, right? And within it I have Prakim, and within that I have detailed Halachas. Now he followed the style of the Mishnah very, very closely. Just since he wants to include all the information there is in the Gemara also, he couldn't be enough with just six orders, he did 14. But hear what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying, I wrote new Mishnah. I didn't write new Talmud. You hear? The Mishnah Torah is Mishnah. It's not Talmud. I'm going to show you very clearly that the Rambam, when he said you use my book, said you use my book for the second third of your learning. Not for the third third. You don't need anything else other than my book for the second third of your learning. Okay. One third Tanakh, one third Tarsh about that. As it were, his book is the new body of Torah Shabbat Pen, but it doesn't have in it what the Talmud has, explaining why the law is the law. And Ram never meant that he should use his book for the third third. He can't. Right. We quoted the Gemara in Brachos before. Right, tomorrow, that office look 7 had terror bomb mitzvah. How the danger is the Torah, the Torah, the Bar mitzvah is Mishnah. The Rambam paraphrases that the moment. In the very beginning of this Hakdama to the Yad HaChazaka, right? So Rambam opens up and he says, you know, he quotes that pasuk, look at that Torah v'amitzvah, Torah shebichsav, v'amitzvah zu Torah shebalpeh. Right, what the Gemara calls Mishnah, the Rambam calls generically Torah shebalpeh. Number two. Right, the Ram that we quoted before about one third, the Ram didn't make up that halacha. It's the Gemara of the Quresh Kiddushin, that not it. Right, the Gemara there says, oh, Nisha Shadam, Shnoisa, the person has to divide up all the years of his life into three. The Gemara, says, you don't know what it is, divide up every single day into three. All the years of your life divided into three. Shlish the Mikra, Shlish the Mishnah, the Shlish the Talmud. One third Mikra, written law. No, Tanakh. One third Mishnah, one third Talmud. That's not the Rambam source of that halacha. So the Gemara called it one third written law, one third Mishnah, one third Talmud. When the Rambam quoted that law, the way it was one-third Torah Shebichsav, one-third Torah Shebaalpeh, one-third Talmud. So I'm showing you two instances where to the Rambam, the word Mishnah and the word Torah Shebaalpeh are synonyms. And I'm explaining to you why. Now you should understand already yourselves why. Because Mishnah is how the Torah Shebaalpeh is a body in its own right. If there's something called Torah Shebaalpeh in its own right, as a book in its own right, that's the Mishnah phenomenon. Right, the Rambam is synonymous. If you go back to the words that the Rambam wrote in his introduction, read them now very carefully, he said you don't need any other book for Torah Shebaalpeh. Meaning my Mishnah Torah, and that's why I call it Mishnah Torah, not Talmud Torah, we call it Mishnah Torah. My book is the new Mishnah. My book is the new body of Torah Shebaalpeh as a book in its own right. But my book, it doesn't have within it the commentary as to why the law is the law. For your third, you're going to have to go back to the Gemara. And if you read it carefully, that's all he said. You don't need another book for Torah Shebaalpeh. Alright, Torah Shebaalpeh is the second thing. You don't need another book for Torah Shebaalpeh. You do need the Talmud to be Yotzei, the third term of Talmud. The Rambam's criticism of those who were learning Gemara only is because they're just doing it for an intellectual exercise. They weren't getting out of it neither Mishnah nor Talmud. They were just reading them. The purpose that's meant to serve, which is to understand why the law is the law and to understand also why the final psak is the final psak. They're just enjoying the dialect, give and take. So what have we learned? If you read the Rambam very carefully, you collate from what he wrote in a lot of different places together, you understand he didn't, God forbid, want to supplant the Talmud. He didn't want to give us a new Mishnah. So you could learn the Rambam's Mishnah term, the Yotze, the second term. The Gemara calls Yochiyah Mishnah. But you cannot get away with the Mishnah Torah, the Yotze, your obligation of the third term, of Talmud. And that the Rambam never had in mind to supplant. We say you only need another book for the body of Torah Shebaalpeh. But for the technology to understand what he's doing, it's done. Okay. All right, so the Mishnah Torah was the new Mishnah. not the new Talmud. That's what the Rambam intended it for. And just another thing to remember is that, you know, these two styles, Mishnah style and Talmud style, this is, you know, these are the two styles that, you know, run throughout our tradition. The Shulchan Aruch is Mishnah style. Mishnah Berurah is Talmud style. The Torah is Mishnah style. The Beis Yosef around the Torah is Talmud style. So Rav Yosef Karo himself, he wrote the Beis Yosef Gemara style. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah style. A book in its own right versus commentary. Rav Bishop Torah is supposed to be the new book of Torah Shabbat Peh, but not the new book of commentary. That you still need the Talmud. Any questions? Alright, just though it's very important to understand what the Mishnah Torah is, and when we get together next, which I think is going to be after the Chagim, we'll start doing more selected readings on topics. Okay. It'll be good if you bought a set of Rambam and a more in the book, and they say a commentary Mishnah about that. For the selected topics, you know, I'll endeavor to photocopy what you need. Okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, Mahasima, thank you.